I like to think that I have a reasonably acute sense of humor. But I... Didn't take long, did it? But those of you who know me well know that I'm not much of a joke teller, and mostly because I just can't remember them. I don't think I've ever been able to keep more than 3 jokes in my memory bank at any one time. But that being said, there is one that does bubble up when I think of the day that we are marking this morning, All Saints Day. And it goes like this. There are a couple of brothers who were well known as the town jerks. I mean, everybody in their community knew them, and they knew what they were like. They were quite successful financially, but it was also no secret that these two guys were dishonest, and they were less than scrupulous, shall we say, in their business dealings. Furthermore, they both cheated on their spouses, they were nasty to their kids, and to top it off, they got mean when they were drunk, which was often. One day, the younger of the two brothers suddenly died, and everyone was shocked, though, to be quite honest, few in town admitted to mourning too deeply. I mean, they were a miserable pair, and he was just a miserable guy. The older brother gave one of the local pastors a call and asked if he would preside at the funeral, though there was a condition. The pastor had to let those at the service know that he personally considered the younger brother to be a saint. The minister objected because everyone knew that the younger brother hadn't lived an especially devout or virtuous life. But then the older brother reached into his pocket and he hauled out a check made out to the church for $250,000. And the older brother repeated, "You just need to say that he was a saint." Day of the funeral arrived. Some hymns were sung, some prayers were said. And eventually the preacher climbed into the pulpit, looked around, and he said, "Everyone here knows that this man was a mean drunk, a cheat. He was unfaithful to his wife, miserable to his children. If you knew him, you wish you didn't. But as bad as he was, compared to his older brother, he was a saint." $250,000. So welcome to our annual observance of All Saints Sunday, though officially All Saints Day was on Friday, November the 1st. All Saints Day is a feast day that follows All Hallows or All Saints Eve, most commonly known as Halloween, and it precedes All Souls Day, which was yesterday. It's a festival that the church initiated some more than 1,200 years ago now to remember all the saints. Not surprisingly, it's celebrated a bit differently in some of the various traditions within Christianity and within different cultures. But in the stream that we find ourselves in, All Saints is about taking some time to remember and honor the followers of Jesus, those who are known to us and, yes, those who are unknown to us. We remember the faithful who have passed from this life and await us in the next. It's a day when we acknowledge a mystical connection between those of us who are still alive, the church militant, those who are alive, and then the church triumphant are those who await us in heaven. Those are the folks who have all died in Christ. For the record, I firmly believe that some kind of link exists. In fact, sometimes if you listen very, very prayerfully, you might just be able to hear the sound of that great cloud of witnesses cheering us on as we continue to walk by faith. The story of Jesus and Zacchaeus in today's Bible reading, and by the way, it's a story that's only found in Luke's Gospel, it paints a rather vivid picture, I think. And that vivid picture makes it a favorite of lots of people, especially the very young. There is a not unreasonable connection made between those who are still growing physically and a character whom we're told in the story was rather short in stature. Though it could be that this matter of Zacchaeus' height might in fact be a little more vague than it first seems. In my translation, that third verse reads, "He," that is Zacchaeus, "was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature." And whether it's Zacchaeus who's short in stature or Jesus who's short, that's actually a bit ambiguous. Depends on how you translate the original language. I still think the safer translation is that Zacchaeus' height is the issue in hand. I suspect he was a little shorter than average. But anyway, really? I'm not really sure that height is the key thing at play here. I mean, in the very first verse of our Bible reading today, we learn that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And he was not merely a tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector in the ancient community of Jericho. And people have been living in Jericho for something like 11,000 years. It's a very old, old city, one of the oldest on earth. But that Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector makes the additional statement that he was rich, makes it pretty much redundant. See, tax collectors in first century Judea were immensely unpopular. They were generally regarded as collaborators, and therefore they were despised. They were, after all, collecting taxes for the Romans, whom the population in Judea really hated. And they were also collecting for the puppet king, Herod, who was generally not much more loved than the Roman occupiers. So tax collectors, they would have an amount that they were required to gather for the powers that be, and then they would gouge out a bit more, out of their own people, in fact, because they would need that to put, for the time and work they'd put in. Money just had a habit of sticking to the hands of those who were doing the collecting, and they were backed in this task by the coercive power of the state. Got to keep those taxes flowing. But beyond being a tax collector, our Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, which meant that he was also likely taking a cut of the money of those working under him. So he was kind of a tax collector of tax collectors, which meant, Zacchaeus was as popular as the plague. Zacchaeus had lots of cash, and that money was generally considered by his countrymen to have been ill-gotten, which makes me wonder, what was going on inside of Zacchaeus on the day that Jesus arrived? Why did he actually want to see Jesus in the first place? I mean, would-be messiahs and prophets in Israel were pretty much a dime a dozen. They were all over the place. It's not a big thing to declare yourself the Messiah. So what was it about Jesus? Considering what happens after they begin their conversation, I'm wondering that the desire to see Jesus was likely the culmination of a whole bunch of things that have been going on in and around him. I mean, there is a backstory here that I think invites some speculation. We read elsewhere in Luke that advanced teams of disciples would sometimes go before Jesus. And I wonder if maybe some had been talking to Zacchaeus, that maybe the good news of God's amazing grace had already been planted in his heart in this tough and hated tool of the state. And so it wasn't just curiosity about the latest rock star prophet that drew him that day. I wonder if perhaps there was this deeper yearning already alive within him. Zacchaeus climbs up a tree. He's waiting for Jesus and presumably his entourage. And as the group turns the corner and they come into sight, Jesus looks up at him, and perhaps his advance team had told him to keep an eye out for this unlikely disciple, or maybe it was simply a matter of Jesus' heart and mind being quickened by his constant companion, the Holy Spirit. But whatever it was, Jesus suddenly says, "Come on down, Zacchaeus. We're going to your place for dinner." And Zacchaeus, he's stunned. Because nobody comes to his house for dinner. Nobody. Of course, this most public turn of events does put the cat amongst the pigeons with the crowd. I mean, Zacchaeus and Jesus? This doesn't logically scan to the righteous who are watching this. Because if Jesus is such a great prophet, if he's supposed to be so godly, if he's such a saint, what's he doing hanging out with a wretched sinner like Zacchaeus? Luke's shared that complaint before about Jesus. Hangs out with sinners. But Zacchaeus, he's like over the moon. He can't believe what he's hearing, so he quickly gets down from the tree and he goes up to Jesus. And then seemingly out of nowhere, he declares that he's giving half of his wealth away to the poor. See, I have a hunch that he's been thinking about this for a while. You don't get to be that wealthy by being impulsive with your money. And what's more, he says, if anyone thinks he's defrauded them, he'll repay them well beyond what the law requires. He'll actually return the money fourfold. You may remember the story of the rich ruler in the previous chapter in Luke. That's the one where Jesus asks the man to give away to the poor all his wealth before following him. But I think this story reveals that the question isn't usually the amount of cash on hand with Jesus. Rather, it's our attachment to that cash. And so Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and he says, salvation has today come to Zacchaeus. And then to those around him, he says, my friend Zacchaeus has been restored. He's family. Then he closes by saying, this is what I do. I seek out the lost and I bring them home. The word saint is found in both the Old and the New Testaments. It's used in the Hebrew and in the Greek languages. In Old Testament Hebrew, saint refers to the faithful ones. In New Testament Greek, both in Paul's letters and in the revelation of St. John, the term saint is an allusion to holy ones, a reference to those who are somehow, I love this, different from the world. Different from the world. You might find it helpful to remember that. A saint is a follower of Jesus who is different from the world. Biblically, the term saint isn't necessarily a reference to the pantheon of famous saints, those martyred apostles and subsequent great teachers and miracle workers and spiritual giants whose names in history are rightly long remembered, occasionally even given their own special day on the calendar. The saints whose exploits and faithfulness inspire us and help us to set the bar just a little bit higher. I'd say that the saints are really all those who encourage us to love God and neighbor more than life, who help us redefine life as being ultimately about loving God and loving neighbor. So typically the scriptural usage of the word saint is a reference to garden variety saints. Those very ordinary and usually highly flawed and unlikely followers of Jesus who don't do anything so dramatic as even climb a tree, but who, amongst other things, manage to drag themselves out of bed on a Sunday, even with the time change. And unlike the good many of their neighbors in places like Qualicum Beach and beyond, quietly declare their love for Jesus, and whose lives, upon some close examination, are just a bit different from the world. Don't dismiss what you do this morning. This is a highly countercultural act that you're about. And our challenges are great because this is now a countercultural act. But much, much depends on what you're doing. This is kingdom work. The story of Jesus and Zacchaeus we have before us today is a little bit deceptive. It's more than a rich and memorable story of a small person against the world, a story of Jesus picking the little guy, and it's more than a story about our relationship with wealth. This is ultimately a call story, which quite coincidentally comes to us on a day when we're being asked to reflect and think together about who God might be calling here to minister amongst you. It's an account of Jesus extending a call to follow to the most unlikely of people, which, as best as I can tell, seems to be his usual way of doing things. Yes, he does occasionally call some mighty impressive people to follow him. But as best as I can see, his normal practice is to call ordinary folks, whom he grows into people who do some very impressive things. Things like to love and to forgive and to be kind and to serve. This, if you ask me, is nothing short of miraculous. Jesus calls highly flawed folk who are clearly going to be called on to do some growing, and that growing is surely going to take a while. Certainly is in my case, anyway. But growing so as to, in some way, reflect the light of Christ, and perhaps even get other people to wondering if there just might indeed be a God. See, Jesus has called you, the saints, to which I say, thanks be to God. Amen.